such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Welcome, everyone. God bless you for tuning into The Winds of Change on this marvelous Wednesday. That means Father Tom Coy is here to wrinkle your brain a bit and give you something to pray about, okay? Whoa. I think I forget to mention...
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, there we go. I forget to mention that wrinkling one's brain is only the beginning. It's just, it just begins here. And after your brain is wrinkled, then you have to know what to pray about, you see. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what to pray about, see? And then after you pray about it, you need to know sometimes what decisions you have to make, maybe in a small way or maybe in a rather large way. The small ways are, of course, what we deal with every day, and we hope the smaller decisions aren't so earth-shattering, because that would just drive us crazy, wouldn't it? I gotta believe it would. And we can't... That makes a person freeze in their tracks, shall we say. When you're afraid of a decision becoming a catastrophic change in your life, then you certainly don't want to make that decision very lightly, so... Praise the Lord that they don't happen every
Danger,
day.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Indeed, that is a danger. That is a danger. And let me see, Tony. Hey, did I put on your right microphone?
No, I'm not. Okay,
there we go.
Sorry for the being tardy, Father, but...
Oh, traffic. This is the big city. This is the big city.
Was that Danger, Will Robinson, for me?
No, that was our common... warning.
I don't know. For,
I do know. It was not for you. Okay. It was for our listeners, because there is danger in having your brain wrinkled.
Right.
And I was just trying to explain that.
Giving the warning out.
Yeah. There are big brain wrinkles, and there are small brain wrinkles, because when your brain is wrinkled, that oftentimes forces you to make a decision.
Right.
One way or another. There's a step in between the brain wrinkling and the decision, and that's prayer. You gotta pray about these things. Ask the good Lord to enlighten you as best as you can. You gotta start praying with the assumption that God is smarter than you.
That's a problem we all have, though. We always think we're smarter.
Isn't it? Yeah, so often we catch ourselves. Or we're smarter than even the collective of humanity.
Yeah.
You know? That's one of the things I like about being Catholic, because it sort of forces you to bring into play a large part of humanity. And when a regular, so to speak, progressive person would say, think globally, act locally, you know? We see that like every now and then, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, hey, well, thumbs up on that. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, they're not thinking globally enough because they're only thinking about the globe as it exists today. Right. When you have a Catholic mentality, you got to think about the globe from, let's see, should we say the year 1776?
Ah.
No, no, I think you got to go behind, be farther.
More.
Should you say since the year 1517?
It begins. You know,
yes, we got to go to the beginning. What I'm obviously pointing out some very important dates. Mm-hmm. Tony, 1776, history quiz.
1776.
That might be something.
The birth of the nation.
George Washington, you know, Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, yeah.
Independence.
Independence Day, 4th of July coming up around mm-hmm. the corner for us. 1517, it's going to get a little harder.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of the Protestant Reformation.
Of course.
Which we like to touch upon in the Winds of Change in this hour of brain wrinkling, because it really is a tremendously historical event that we, number one, don't think of as having profound effects on us, but it does. And especially as a Catholic, I feel obligated to help unravel the story of Martin Luther, King Henry VIII, Queen Elizabeth, Archbishop Cranmer, a guy by the name of Archbishop Lowndes, a guy by the name of William Cecil.
Okay, are you giving us preview? Because I remember a few of those names, but some names I did not. So does that mean we're getting there?
Oh,
I was hoping to go back.
I would like to say yes, but I got so much on my plate here today. We'll see where we come from.
Okay.
Let's see. I'll start where I put in the flock note.
I was hoping to get to that.
Plastic bottles, Germans, and oaths.
Yeah.
That was a...
That piqued my
plastic bottles,
interest.
Germans, and oaths. Now, of course, I'd say, well, these are things have nothing to do with each other. How good? Well, just wait until the end of this
right.
hour, because somehow things always seem to come together for me, mm-hmm. you know, in one way or another. And so we got to dive into this. I'm going to start out. I'll start out. I'll just jump right in because I know how I always run out of time.
Right.
I do too much intro, and it's like a pitcher.
Sometimes you have to set it up.
Sometimes, sometimes the pitcher does a wind up, and then he
you
stops.
Just wrinkle my brain. And
then Nick's already wrinkled his brain.
He grabs the rosin bag, and then he walks around, and then the pitcher and the batter, if he's getting frustrated with the pitcher mm-hmm. doing all of his intro warm up stuff, then as soon as the pitcher's ready to pitch, then.
Right.
He calls timeout, then he's got to fix his gloves, you know, and all that kind of... It's the game that's played, right?
Right.
Well, okay, I'm going to try not to play that game. I'm going to try to jump right in here. So,
okay.
But you can slap me if
I'll try to keep you on track.
If I get way off track, you know. I haven't been put in the punishment room, and I hope I don't get put in the punishment room. But
you never know.
It's possible. It is possible because I know I could frustrate our listeners, you see. That's right. Just stay over there.
Yeah.
Do not open that door, Tony.
Exactly.
Do not open that door. Okay. What are plastic bottles are on the news for? Because this comes from an email. You know, you get all sorts of different interesting
right.
things. I don't. It doesn't have a by who exactly, but one of the things floating around, it's just a little meditation, and it's a little bit about on the craziness of the world mm-hmm. we're in today. Okay. And here we go. Let's just meditate on this, because if plastic water bottles are okay, and I think they are, everywhere there's plastic water bottles.
Right.
You know, you got to have your plastic water bottle with you and all. But how come plastic bags are being banned?
That's awesome.
Do you know what I'm saying? You go to the grocery store and you're in trouble. If we live in a country where plastic bottles are okay, but plastic bags are banned, you might be living in a nation that is founded by geniuses but run by idiots.
I love it.
That a precious little thought there. Okay, there's more, of course. If you can get arrested for hunting or fishing without a license, but not for entering and remaining in the country illegally. You might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses, but run by
idiots.
There's something to that, I'm sorry to say. We may come, obviously that touches on the issue of immigration and immigration reform. That is an important issue, and we'll get to that. We should dedicate several shows to that.
We will.
Because it is it's on the mind of a lot of people, and this is going to kind of get to it in some way, too, I think. If you have to get your parents' permission to go on a field trip or take an aspirin in school, but not to get an abortion, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses, but was run by idiots.
Wow.
Okay. If you must show your identification to board an airplane, cash a check, buy liquor, or check out a library book, or rent a video, but not to vote who runs the government, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses, but runs by idiots. Or shall we say simpletons? I like the word simpletons.
I like simpletons.
That might soften the blow somewhat, but gets the same point across, doesn't it? If the government wants to prevent stable, law-abiding citizens from owning guns, but gave 20 F-16 fighter jets to Muslim leaders in Egypt, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by idiots.
I think you lost a lot of people now.
We might have, because, guns. Well, we can have a whole show on guns,
right,
too, actually. Here we go. In the nation's largest cities, you can buy 2 16-ounce sodas, but you cannot buy 1 24-inch soda, because 24-ounce sodas are too much sugar and make you fat. You might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses, but run by simpletons. Okay. If an 80-year-old woman who is confined to a wheelchair or a 3-year-old girl can be strip-searched by the TSA at the airport, but a woman in a burqa or a hijab is only subject to have her neck and head searched, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by simpletons. If your government believes that the best way to eradicate trillions of dollars of debt is to spend trillions of dollars more, you get the idea.
Yeah.
If a 7-year-old boy can be thrown out of school for saying his teacher is cute, but hosting a sexual exploration or diversity class in grade school is perfectly acceptable.
Wow.
You might live in a nation that is founded by geniuses but run by simpletons. Isn't that amazing? All these things have really happened, you know.
That's the thing that's blowing my mind right now.
They're taken from the news, of course. If hard work and success are met with higher taxes and more government regulations and intrusion, while not working is rewarded with more food stamps, WIC checks, Medicaid benefits, subsidized housing, and free cell phones, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by simpletons. If you pay your mortgage faithfully, denying yourself the newest big screen TV, while your neighbor buys iPhones, timeshares, a wall-sized do-it-all plasma screen TV, and new cars, and the government forgives his debt when he defaults on his mortgage, you might live in a nation that was founded by geniuses but run by simpletons. Okay, so let's see if we got this right. If you cross the North Korean border illegally, you get 12 years hard labor. If you cross the Iranian border illegally, you are detained indefinitely. If you cross the Afghanistan border illegally, you get shot. If you cross the Saudi Arabian border illegally, you will be jailed. If you cross the Chinese border illegally, you may never be heard from again. If you cross the Venezuelan border illegally, you will be branded a spy and your fate will be sealed. If you cross the Cuban border illegally, you will be thrown into political prison and rot. If you cross into Mexico, you are jailed. If you cross the U.S. border illegally, you get a job, a driver's license, Social Security card, welfare, food stamps, credit card, subsidized rent, or a loan to buy a house, free education, free health care, a lobbyist in Washington, billions of dollars worth of public documents printed in your language, the right to carry your country's flag while you protest that you don't get enough respect, and in many instances, you can vote. I just wanted to make sure I'm getting a firm grasp of the situation. Okay.
Wow. That is. You just wrinkled my brain.
That is a brain wrinkler, you know?
And you just wrinkled my brain, man.
And okay. Nick's too. That's amazing.
They touch on tough issues. Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's obviously coming from this frustration in a lot of people. And of course, everybody has different kinds of frustrations, but I'm going to come back. Nick wants us to take a quick little break. I need to get this off my chest. I need to explain how this genre of thinking and these problems that we're facing point to my little epitaph, Unlike Other Nations, which I use from time to time, and it's the moniker of my email address, which you can get updates to Winds of Change here on Wednesdays if you do sign up for. You send me an email at unlikeothernations@gmail.com. Anywho, okay? So let's take a quick break. I'm Father Tom Coyes, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDC.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
There we go. Okay, there we are back. Just a little, you know, it's so easy to push the wrong button on a computer.
And a gremlin in the studio.
Yeah, that's right. We won't pile on Nick too much right here now.
Because no, I'm not sure who gets the punishment room.
I don't know. there may be a punishment room in this episode of Winds of Change.
But one could say I'm the only one that doesn't get one and put you both in the punishment
room. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
That would be a danger for Nick today.
Right.
Danger, Nick, you may be thrust into the punishment room because, anyways, gosh. Okay, back to serious business here because, I shared with you that diatribe of a frustration, shall we say, of the American middle class, hardworking, monolingual. I find people, those who are bilingual or trilingual, have a much different attitude about the issue of people from other countries than than people who are only monolingual. Not that there's anything wrong with being a monolingual, but there's something broader and more brain wrinkling with being bilingual or trilingual. So, anyways, that diatribe of frustrations about what's going on does make you think about how we can maybe it should be thrown out to our listening audience, especially the listening audience that might be part of an immigrant community that are illegal, those who do not have legal papers and have not gone through. It may thrown out as a invitation to try to study a little bit deeper and harder what's going on in the country today and the feelings of your fellow residents or fellow Americans, if you can call them that, and an invitation to try to be a part of the positive, trying to build up, obviously, instead of tear down, anyways, here. We'll get back to that, and Tony, you might have some thoughts too to share. Let me say how it relates to my moniker of "unlike other nations."
Right.
That's what. Okay. Some people see that little phrase, they will assume readily. I think incorrectly, they will assume incorrectly that means that I am saying the same thing that those who are saying America, the United States of America, is the best country that exists, that ever has existed, and ever will exist. Now, I do believe America is a great country. You know, I do, and I love it, and I hold on to that feeling of America's greatness, partly because I'm worried about seeing its greatness slip away.
Exactly.
You know?
So I should say you've already lost by opening your mouth at this point, be honest, with most people. I shouldn't say with most people, but again, you lose regardless. The message that you want to say is the most important.
Yeah, so stick with me, my friends.
Right. People automatically turn off because, you know, this is not what people... The truth is kind of hard to hear sometimes.
Yeah, and this kind of fits that category because at the one hand, I love this country. I do think it's a great country. But my moniker of unlike other nations, it is not in the vein of saying...
we are the best.
We are superior in every way, shape, or form, or that we are by no means we're the only great country in the world. And it sort of ties into there's another phrase that's similar to "Make America Great," which is in the vein of American exceptionalism, and in a lot of ways, I do subscribe to a sense of American exceptionalism that it stands out in a lot of ways that you can't. In order to deny, you have to really be really blinded in a lot of ways. That they're just the very fact that it's the country that most people in the world want to move to,
right,
has to say something.
You know, it's funny. If you ask 100 people what Make America Great means, you'd have 100 different answers. And it kind of reminds me of just the way we started with the litany of things that we were talking about. It's interesting how we don't think past our hates or our misconceptions, and we don't try to get at the truth, unlike other nations.
Yeah. Well, and here's where I got to sound my clarion call, where I think that the unlike other nations is a beautiful thought, because it's primarily referring to Israel.
Exactly.
More than the United States.
Right.
The reason it's referring to Israel more than it is the United States is because it's from 1 Samuel chapter 8, which is in the Old Testament, in case you didn't realize that. The Old Testament is something part of what we call the Bible.
Right.
In case you forgot about that. Don't know what that is
which
about.
Which most people have.
Yeah, indeed. And so in the second, in the eighth chapter of 1 Samuel, we find that God wants his people, the nation that he's choosing to make his own. We use a modern phrase today in political language called most favored nation status.
Wow.
You know? That
you just wrinkled my brain, man.
All right. Was that your brain wrinkled, Nick? Was
it's
that
a bunch of them.
Okay. I'm glad about that. So when that is a valuable thing to kick around in a political sphere, you know. Well, we grant you most favored nation status. We don't grant you most favored nation status. We're going to take away your most favored nation status. You know, all those kind of things are part of what go into the interplay between nations.
Right.
And sometimes we could get into a sidetrack about what's going on in North Korea these days. You know, it's big in the news. But Tony, pull me back.
You're coming back.
Just pull me back. I'm steering over this way. And just pull me back.
It's too much is open for discussion.
It is. I'm going to stick with 8th chapter of 1 Samuel for now and bring it back here to the United States and this concept of a great nation. And the reason why I use that little phrase, unlike other nations, a lot, but I have this sense that about 2% of the people are plugged into what I want them to be plugged into.
Yeah.
I have this sense that I think they'll hear Father Coyes has an email that's called Unlike Other Nations. He must be one of those wild redneck America first.
Make America great.
Make America great kind of person. Yeah. You know, and to some extent I am. I can't deny I want to make.
For the right reasons.
But this diatribe of complaints, shall we say, obviously a lot of it is taken from true stories in the news, and especially those the things about what happens when you cross into another border, you get
see,
shot
that,
or
that's
in prison.
All interesting. Again, if you want to touch on that, the thing is, people don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that because there's all kinds of other reasons for why they do what they want to do. And to be honest, I think what it really is I just said it, reasons for people to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's more than just, you know.
There's the bigger picture is lost.
Yeah, there is a bigger picture that people don't even see.
Yeah. My take on the border and the wall issue is I feel like, well, As much as I hate to admit it, it seems that it's a necessary step today. But I would like to see a wall with lots of doors.
Yeah.
I don't know why we don't think of a wall with doors, you know, and windows maybe. You build a house, you put four walls on your house. It would be a pretty silly house if you didn't have a door.
Right.
And actually, according to laws and regulations, every place has to have at least two doors.
Right.
Right?
If you think of some of these laws that you just said, or some of these things that we consider laws, how they make no sense, or they're enforced by some but not by all.
Yeah.
So I think this whole immigration thing, if I could just say, is a little bit more than just letting people in or not letting people in.
Yeah.
There's other things that are involved in this.
That's what the doors represent in my little analogy, because a wall with doors implies going through the doors, opening and closing the doors. When? To whom? That pushes the issue of, is there a something that, is there, so to speak, an ideological password you need in order to enter into? And
I would like to think at this point the door theory is probably not going to be working. It's probably good to have a wall, but know why a wall is there.
Yeah. No wild wall?
Know why the wall is there.
Oh, know why the wall is there.
Because, see, we're at the point where, again, it's funny how this whole, because I don't want to really talk about it because it's a long drag out. I've heard both sides of this, and then I use my own intellect by listening to things.
Yeah.
And I have in opinions that it's like, it's a big puzzle.
Yeah.
I don't think it can be solved by one or two people, but I think the talk should happen. It should really happen. And I think that's what's happening now. And a lot of people, you know, when you shine light on something, they don't want to address it. The big problem in the room.
Yeah. Well, let me repeat where I said I use that little moniker, unlike other nations, and how I sense that 80% of the people don't understand what I'm trying to get across. I smirk and I smile and I say a little prayer. I hope they get it someday.
Right.
But get it. What I want them to get is the aspect of what God was thinking when he was disappointed with Israel, his chosen people, when he was disappointed with Israel for wanting to be just like other nations.
Exactly.
God wasn't trying to put on the shoulders of the baby Israelite nation in the Old Testament times. God wasn't trying to say, you shall be a nation that doesn't have a flag, because all nations have flags,
right.
You know, or they invented flags back in 400,000 BC, but it's standards, I guess, sort of.
Right.
Okay, and God wasn't saying, you shall be a nation that doesn't teach its people its language. You shall be a nation that isn't organized in one way or another. And you shall be a nation that doesn't have schools. You shall be a nation that doesn't X, Y, and Z. What God was driving at is, I don't want you to be like other nations in the sense that the other nations are not following my Ten Commandments.
Exactly.
I gave you the Ten Commandments, and therefore follow them.
Right.
Build your nation upon the Ten Commandments. And Israel kind of like thought, oh, there's a good idea.
Right.
And as they did, they did strengthen and grew, and as they abandoned those and others, and then their practice. But within the context of obeying the Ten Commandments, there's room, I guess you could say, for some different manifestations of religiosity and everything. And so for when I say I want America to be unlike other nations, I want America to be in God's list of most favored nations. I'd like it to be number one.
Right. And I think of your Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come.
Ooh.
That kingdom is not for America. That kingdom is not for Iranians, or it's for everybody. Thy kingdom.
We are.
Thy kingdom.
All countries are supposed to be involved in that same pursuit.
Exactly.
Of finding.
And that's what I like to think about as thy kingdom come.
Yeah.
Lord, take me. Yeah. Let me follow your rules.
That's part of the reason why I'm so passionately pro-life.
Yeah.
Because the right to life is so contrary to...
And people don't understand
the Ten
that
Commandments
either.
And, no.
Because it still comes down to what I want.
And so much flows,
what
of course.
I want.
Okay, Nick's yelling at me over there. I don't want to be put in the punishment room by disobeying the great technician. So listen, everyone, stay tuned. Let's take a little pause here. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
Newsflash! This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyes here with you, along with Tony. I never say your last name. I always just say Tony.
Tony's fine.
Tony's good. Okay.
The other Tony. If I'm on with Father Tony, then I have to be the other Tony.
That's right.
I'm just that guy in the background. I'm nobody special.
Well, in my book, you are very special. Anyways, hopefully you represent Tony.
The little people.
The listeners.
The listener.
Are my base. My friends out there.
Right.
Without which, it'd be stupid to be talking to a radio and nobody was listening, you know?
We'd be simpletons.
We would be simpletons, that's right. God bless you all for tuning into The Winds of Change today and Monday through Friday with Father Anthony Bush and all the other neat guests that come to this microphone. And God bless all of you who are helping us stay on the air, okay? So I want to take a turn.
Okay.
I got to take a turn. Because there that theme of American exceptionalism, American greatness, I kind of wound up before the break by saying it's hinged upon the fact that we are a nation built on the Ten Commandments, and that's part of the problem or part of the goal.
Right.
It's part of the goal. It's part of the abandonment. It's part of the problem, and. That's why the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, in my book, is very important for us to have a good grasp on. And what I mean by a good grasp on, I mean not follow the assumptions that most Americans, especially, or those Catholics and non-Catholics in the English-speaking world, have about the Reformation. And if you dig into history, you find a different story, or at least a fuller picture of what happened than... I guess what I'm saying is that the one of the misperceptions of the Protestant Reformation goes something like this. And I've had, remember Eric Bataskis and right. different Protestant thinkers and everything. I've used some of those clips in the past before. But the general thought that America planted the seeds of religious freedom because the people who were fleeing Europe for religious freedom were fleeing the tyranny of the Catholic version of Christianity. That's a pretty basic, common assessment. And I think it's so wrong.
Right.
It's so wrong. They may have been fleeing the craziness that was going on in Europe. But you can't say that the craziness was because of Catholicism. You could say Catholics were part of the problem. You could say Catholics were part of the craziness, but an equal part of the craziness, if not, and you could make an argument for the fact that it was the Protestants that created the craziness, and the chaos, and the persecution, mm-hmm. Equally, if not more so than the Catholics. And I could just see a heated fisticuff battle going on right now. I don't want to engender a fisticuff battle. I want to engender a lively debate with words.
Right.
Much better to debate with words to seek common understanding and a common truth. And to get to a truth, I almost broke one of my own rules, because sometimes I did break one of my own rules. And I think when they say, oh, we got to get together, we got to get to a common truth. Mm-hmm. When you hear the phrase common truth, you emphasize the sense of common, right. You know,
not truth. Truth. Exactly.
Because... if you drop the word common, it means the same, but I think it even means more.
Right.
If you say, oh, we got to get together and debate to find the truth, instead of let's get together and debate and find the common truth.
Right.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Is it like a compromise, too?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to want to water down the truth to make it agreeable to both of us, which is bad because then it's not the truth anymore.
Yeah. Like... putting the adjective common in front of truth,
right.
sort of implies, and this is part of the American mentality in a certain sense, vis-a-vis the Protestant Reformation or Revolution, as we should refer to it as, mm-hmm. Because the saying common truth instead of just truth implies that it can exist something called an uncommon truth.
Right.
Okay. And an uncommon truth is really another word for relativism. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a truth, but it's not common between us. It's a truth that's not common between us. So then it's not really, you haven't reached the truth.
Right.
Then if you find some, and you're in the realm of preferences or opinions, and there's plenty of room for preferences and opinions and a lot of part of life, and we have to accept that. But we have to also accept that truth is that kind of thing that will be common with others. So, and the Protestant Reformation introduced, like I said, a common narrative of the Protestant Reformation is that Christians who were being persecuted by the Catholics in Europe fled Europe in order to establish a country that in which they were free to worship as they pleased. And it's partly true, but partly wrong. And we got to be clear about what the partly wrong is. See, does that make any sense?
Yeah, I don't know what's worse. The person that grows up now that doesn't know anything about history.
Yeah.
Or the person like us now, and our listeners, that you want to think about the things that happen and you use history to see where we're going and how we got there. It's just amazing.
That's why my theme of holy forgetfulness is important, because when you learn these things, you can go back into a very attack mode.
Yeah.
I don't want people to go into an attack mode.
But it is interesting how you can learn today's things from the past.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I heard a great little example of just what you're talking about the other day. One of our parishioners is a school teacher, and she's in music and what have you. And she was talking about how some of her kids, she was teaching them some Hamilton songs.
Right.
It's such a popular play, you know. And since it was grade school, one of the thoughts, oh, wait a minute, you're teaching, there's a lot of swear words. Right. In Hamilton, you don't want to teach
minus
kids that.
The swear words.
Yeah, so you got to try that, but you know, beware my parents of young children. But getting around that or neutralizing that in one way or another by saying that is crude and we're not to use vulgarity, especially in public kind of arenas. But the other thing about it was, she said, oh, well, I'm only teaching him. I'm not throwing away my shot. There's that one. I'm not throwing away my shot. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, just like my country, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
Okay, now I can't get this out of my head now. Thank you.
I'm sorry. But she was teaching him the Hamilton song, and then somewhere.
Yeah. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
You got Nick wrinkled.
He's going to have a wrinkly brain. But here's the kick. The kids, after they learned the song, and to say, no, this is a guy named Alexander Hamilton and everything, the kids, these are like seventh graders, the kids were saying, is that real? You mean there was a guy named Alexander Hamilton? You know, it was like,
wow.
You just never heard of that, you know? You say, wait a minute, take out a $10 bill and look at the picture on that. You know, that's not a cartoon character. And anyways, okay, Nick wants us to take another quick break. Time is going so fast. Okay, I'm Father Tom Coyes, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to Listener Supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Coyes here. It's a Wednesday, the middle of the week, and you're Having lunch. Class is in session. I'm hoping you're not operating any heavy machinery.
Stop.
Or highly drugged in one way or another. Things said here may be easily misinterpreted if you are in an altered state of consciousness.
Right.
You must soak it all in. And please record these things so that, because I don't want to be misquoted.
You can easily download the show afterwards and listen to it again.
Exactly. Let's remind people, if you go on to Podbean,
mm-hmm.
Podbean, Podbean, it's a very popular podcasting platform. And then
I think you can still get it on too on SaintStan's church.org.
Okay. If that link is working, there was some trouble with that link. So go to SaintStan'sChurch.org and you can find the Winds of Change Radio. If for some reason that link is not operational as best, you can go to Podbean and search for Winds of Change.
Or if you're unlike other nations, you can get the show sometime after
thank you very
Friday
much.
Or so.
Yeah, if you send me an email and I put you in my Flock note list.
Good to have.
Then I try to send out a link to the Podbean podcast of the show. Take note, my friends, of the date. Oftentimes it's very hard to find. Yeah, you know, I got to talk to Nick about that because it would be easier to find when I'm going down the list if we had Coy's in the title somewhere.
Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out.
There hardly ever is. I got to know what was a Wednesday.
And Wednesday
then I
is a special day.
Then I got to look at a calendar to see what date the Wednesday was. Then
we'll work that
search
out.
It from there. Because episode number 2753 means nothing,
right?
Even to me, it was part of the show. At least I have a small part of the show, I guess you might say.
A big part.
Okay, anyways, another twist, another can of worms I got to open up here because it all fits in. And this has to do, as I said, with it fits together because I'm trying to unravel a difficulty about our nation. I want it to be a great nation. I want it to be founded on the wisdom of God. And so the inner debate within Christianity between Catholics and Protestants, and between Protestants and Protestants, and these Protestants and that Protestant, and that Protestant and that Protestant.
And so on.
Thousands of different Protestants that debate things, of course. And within Catholicism, there's great debate. So anyways, this stuff is important. It's very interesting, and we must pray about these things. I sometimes have to pray after and before a show, saying, Lord, let the right spirit, you know, as I try to tackle some things that are easily fuel for fire. And I don't want the fire of anger or anything. I want the fire of a pursuit of truth. I want the fire of the Holy Spirit to come from such things. And I think this is what I want to share with you a very interesting article about what's going on in Germany by one of our wonderful U.S. American bishops, and it goes like this. He's writing about, obviously, he starts by referring to the Protestant Reformation when he says, "In there's a book by Richard Rex called The Making of Martin Luther." Richard Rex notes that it was 1518, not 1517, that marks the real birth of Luther's public life. Luther's 95 Theses hit the wider German market in January of 1518. So actually this year is the 500th anniversary of that.
Wow.
He wrote his Instructions for Confession, and interestingly enough, listen to this title, Sermon on the Proper Preparation of the Heart for the Reception of Communion.
Wow.
That's written 500 years ago. It's because it's an eternal, deep question that needs to be asked all the time. The sermon especially bore the early seeds of Luther's later full-blown attack on Catholic sacramental theology, a fact that Cardinal Thomas Cajetan had already sensed when he met with Luther and pressed him to recant his more problematic views in October 1518. So it's a key thing. Obviously, it's so common knowledge that Luther was fighting against the corruption of within the hierarchy, within the priests, and don't believe for a minute, my friends, that you could separate the corruption that was going on in the priests and the hierarchy. You can't separate that from the corruption that was going on in the laity in general. There was it's not as if the laity were living saintly and pure lives and that the clergy and hierarchy were leading corrupt lives. There was corruption all about. And so had Luther stayed with that initial call for reform of morals, he could have been a contender for a canonization process. But he turned it into a full-blown attack on the nature of the church and the nature of the sacraments. So here's a little bit more of the article. Exactly 500 years later, after Luther's sermons, communion is again a matter of debate in Germany. This time, the disputants are the bishops themselves. Munich's Cardinal Marx and other German bishops seek to allow Protestant spouses of Catholics to receive Holy Communion under certain conditions, so long as they affirm the Catholic faith in the Eucharist. Cologne's Cardinal Wolke and six other German bishops oppose the effort. They have sought clarification from Rome. The Vatican, however, has declined to intervene and return the matter to the German bishops, urging them to arrive at a conference-level agreement. Now, that's an important little phrase, conference-level bishops. What is conference-level agreement? It means, like, national conference of Catholic bishops. Us here in the United States hear that phrase from time to time. And so Vatican II kind of encouraged national conferences of Catholic bishops. And there's certainly a lot of good reason for that. And however, there's some times that it's problematic. And this is one of those times, he's saying. So here I continue. Heat around the issue spiked earlier last month at a national German Catholic gathering. The country's president, along with a major television personality and others, publicly sided with Cardinal Marx. Not Karl Marx, you know. If you're new to the world of history, you don't want to get those two names confused.
That's a mix-up. That's a bad mix-up.
Yes. Neither do you want to think that he's related to Father Paul Marx, of happy memory, a great pro-life priest.
Just wrinkled my brain, man.
Okay. I think we're going on 5 or 6 right now.
At least.
We should keep score.
This is going to be a bad day today.
Cardinal Marx argued that when someone is hungry and has faith, they must have access to the Eucharist. That must be our passion, and I will not let up on this. Cardinal Wolke disagreed, noting that whoever says yes to the real presence of Christ in the Catholic Eucharist also naturally says yes to the papacy and the hierarchical structure of the church and the veneration of the saints and much, much more, all typically rejected in Protestant belief. Cardinal Wolke further stressed that we in Germany are a part and parcel of the universal church. There is no German exceptionalism in this sense. Oh dear, there's that musing.
We need to come back to this.
I didn't even get the top of the can open to let the worms out.
Nope.
I'm just showing you the can here, my friend.
Until next week.
Next week we come. So I hope we wrinkled your brain a little bit. Remember, pray about these things, my friends. Don't forget church or Sunday school. That's what Thomas Fraser used to say at the end of Garfield Goose, so I felt like saying it. I'm Father Tom Coy, sitting in for Father Anthony Boyce. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
There's no sense to research deeper truths or sit on the fence. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.